It's actually nice to face you all. It's good. So there's not many of us, but it'll be a good morning. Right then. So there's no notices actually. So we're just no bread and juice is there, and the toilet's over there, and the fire door is over there, or down the stairs. And we're here. That's good. Okay. So testimonies. Does anybody have a testimony from the last few weeks, what God's been saying, anything that Carrie has been sharing? And we have Mike. Do you have a testimony?
I called you Mike then.
That's all right. I'll forgive you. Well, the other day, I think it was this week, but anyway, I've been thinking differently and walking along the street, and I actually commissioned an angel to go with me all day, and I just knew he was there, or she, or whatever they are. You know, sometimes you can talk about angels, you can talk to them, but you've got a thing in your mind, well, you're doing it by faith, you know. But I just really had the gift of faith, I suppose it is. You know, I knew that the angel was there anyways, talking to it, you know, just like this. And then, you know, things started to happen because you could see that there was something really going on, you know, if events would happen. And it was just supernatural, really. And as I'm going along, I saw, it probably won't end as exciting as it sounds at the beginning, but as I'm going along the day, doing the day, I saw somebody I know who's, you know, you'd be familiar with Joe, but I don't think everybody would be. But I've got to know him a bit, and I've talked to him about some interesting things, spiritual things and this and that. And he's gone so far, you know, but I think, you know, he's yet to perhaps go a bit farther. So as I'm walking along, I saw him just out of the blue, out of the corner of my eye, and, you know, we caught eyes and we talked. And sometimes he's always in a hurry doing something, busy, but he was all right, you know, he was relaxed and he had time to talk. And we walked along, we talked for about half an hour about the things of God. And, I know that it was that angel that brought him along. And I said to him, you know, he said, funny meeting you here, isn't it, like that? I said, yeah, an angel arranged that. And he did, you know, it was fantastic.
Well done. Thank you, Mick. Mick, thank you. So it's just engaging with angels and God for the day, and nothing is a coincidence because God engineers it. So any other? Oh, Alice. Oh, Deb. Wow, racing.
I didn't know she was going to start to speak. It's not a specific testimony. It's more of an encouragement that I just want to throw out there for all of us, because as a church and as an individual, we have pursued sort of healing and wholeness forever. It's been our heart, Isaiah 61, just to see people free and whole and transformed and everything else. And so it was an absolute delight to have Carrie here with us for the last couple of weeks. And obviously she's spoken than us to Sundays. But I spent some time with her in a ministry session. And she also spent some time with two of my daughters, which is absolutely quite incredible. And really, what I just want to say to you is, you know, the revelation that God's given us is really incredible, but there's always more, and it always goes deeper. And some of the stuff that God showed me while Carrie was ministering to me wasn't new, but her wisdom and insight made connections that I hadn't made connections to before. And a lot of it was rooted in judgments that I had made against my parents. Now, I know about judgments. I know the power of judgment. I know all of that stuff. But this is so much deeper. And what I want to throw out there is there's revelation here for us. And it's exciting. So it's bound to be that God is going to show us all new things now, because we've opened up a different level to things. Don't let it freak you out. Don't be scared by it. Embrace it, because we have deeper truths to see ourselves set free. And as I say, one of the things for me was I really find hypocrisy difficult. Now, I became the biggest hypocrite ever, as I've shared my story with you many times before. but it came from a judgment of my mum that took root in me, because if you judge something, you either become it or you draw it to you. What you judge, you draw to you. And I'm not going to go into any specifics with my daughters, except to say, funnily enough, that root issue, which is a generational issue, they really struggled with as well. And how amazing. And all I can say is that as a family, there has been a breakthrough and God is doing some really good things. So I will just non-specific testimony, but also throw it out there, take hold of God is doing deeper things. And if there are levels that we can be more whole and more healed and more restored and more free, let's embrace them, no matter how tricky it might be. And I know that when we're in the beginning of a journey, or even when we think we're through a journey and it goes round again, it can be really difficult. But God is with us and he cares for us. And the reason sometimes that he allows things to become exposed is because we carry them and we live in the effects of negative things all the time if they're there. So let's not run away, but let's just embrace what God is showing us and be more healed.
So actually, if God does show you anything deeper, you don't actually have to live with the pain or the wounds of that. We do have tools that we can help you, free you, minister to you, just for anybody.
That's me. Last week, when Carrie was here, she put the oil on her hands, and I sort of about forgiving somebody and forgiving. And my dad, automatically, that my dad was there in my mind, my thinking, and then I sort of, okay, yeah, I've worked at that, and then I thought, I'm going to do this, and then I sort of, okay, yeah, step into heaven. You know, some of you guys and people have seen the shack, about connecting with your father in the spiritual realm in heaven, and that's what I've done. And I embraced my father, and forgave some stuff, and I had an emotional sort of 10 minutes then in worship. But I was just, yeah, it's just that was the revelation really I got, and that was just amazing.
Thank you, Graham. I was just looking for tissues here, just in case we need any today. Okay. Thanks. Anyone else? Alice?
I've stood up here a number of times and talked about oils, and you know, I really, really think that they're amazing, and I love what they do. They bring healing benefits both physically and emotionally. But I had an experience this week where I sort of understood them to a deeper level. So I also had a session with Carrie, and she, again, just like does this, oh, yeah, it's that, and that. And I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's really obvious, but I never saw it. But she was, we were just beginning to unpack some stuff. And a few days later, I felt like I was, again, on the same journey and was seeing other aspects to the thing that I was unpacking. And suddenly, all these memories came up that had deep emotion connected to them. And so I felt awful, you know, and I felt there was like a really strong sense of regret about some things. And I was like, oh, what can I do? And because the way that Carrie has been teaching us, and I know this, but sometimes you just need to hear it to know it. She says that the oils get into every single cell of your body. And as you know, I've recently taught on how we carry pain in our cells and how we carry memories in our cells. So if we have memories that have emotion attached, we're carrying that in our cells. So the oils then bring release, because they come and they change the frequency of your cell and they change what is happening in your cell. So I decided that I would diffuse some lemon oil, because that's meant to be good for... something, yes. I might remember in a minute, but I've completely forgotten. So I actually did a combination of lemon and lavender. I just sort of did a vague prayer. It's like, God, I really need help with this. It wasn't like a deep, meaningful prayer. It was just like, God, I know that this will work, but I really need your help with it. And I went to sleep. So I diffused these oils while I was sleeping. And I woke up in the morning and actually I felt completely different. The sort of horrible feelings that I felt were completely gone. And when I thought about the memories, the emotion that was attached to them had completely become unattached. So when I thought of those things, it was like the night before they'd been really vivid and the emotion was just like, When I thought about them in the morning, it was like I was looking at them from, you know, through veils and it was dusty and, you know, like, as though I couldn't see it anymore. It was like it was there, but it just had no significance and it just felt so much better.
Thank you, Alice. Well done. Good. Claire?
This has nothing to do with oils or anything like that. About a year ago, I was given some money and the Lord told me to buy something frivolous and I bought an Audi TT. And this was... Yeah, yeah. But it's a car that I'd test driven the same car 17 years earlier. So it was something I'd wanted for 17 years. Anyway, through the last year, the Lord has taken me on a whole journey with this car. There ended up being problems with it, and I ended up having to go to court with this car. But the Lord took me on this whole journey of trusting with him and walking step by step with him and showing me when not to do things and when to do things. And literally, it was like, you know... But this has been a trial of a whole year. And last Friday, as in not this Friday, just gone the one before, I went to court. And I'd been shown a picture of... Because he's been teaching me about the court as well and going to, you know, what the courts of heaven are like and all that kind of stuff. And he'd shown me a picture of me going into court with basically wearing like a train, which was had like essences in and had spirits of wisdom and things like that in it, and also had all of heaven's armies all behind me. And I went into court with this on, and I actually went into court wearing a multicoloured raincoat. It just happened to be raining that day, and that was my raincoat. And I won. And this guy who I'd gone to court against, he definitely thought he was going to win. But it was just like, I got to walk out God's purposes in my life through this. And I still haven't got the money, so this is not ended. But this stage is finished.
Well done. Thank you, Claire. Well done. So, we do have a very good God who always looks after us and loves us. And another testimony. Thank you, Jo.
Should have done this one last week, but I was chatting to Carrie. She said, yeah, you need to share it. So in talking to her, we were talking, I work with children and it's my passion, it's what I do. And I've just done a whole week's holiday club. And we forget actually how powerful words are. So one of the things I always say when I go off on residentials with them, and I always end up with the accident book. And I always say to the children, not writing in the accident book. We're not doing that this week. So I said right at the very beginning of the week, not writing in the accident book, we're not going to do that. And I counted back the week before, because there's 2 weeks, I did only one of them. It was like 39 things written in there. So my testimony is I had 9, which included a nosebleed, which actually isn't an accident, but we have to write everything down. And some of them were just, I've had to put a plaster on something that they already had. So power in what you say, and the children are going, yeah, all right. And they responded. So remember what you say. It's really important.
Thank you, Jen. So, any more? Or I have a testimony, actually, about what you say. So I had ministry with Carrie, and she highlighted some core beliefs that were wrong. But apart from that, also, she gives you affirmations to speak. So you speak them over yourself. It's like taking medicine 3 times a day for 66 days, which sounds a lot, but it actually changes your mindset and it changes your thinking. And as Jo said, it's actually what you think about yourself is how you act and how you portray. So as a man thinks, so he is. So I'm going to get my mindsets changed and my thought patterns, which can only be good. Right. Any more? No. So hand over to Alice.
So one of the things that is a bit significant about this morning is we don't have any musicians. So we're just playing this morning, and we're hoping that you'll come along with us. So I think most of you were here last week when we heard Carrie sharing about Father Heart and Father Heart wounds, and then she led us through an exercise of forgiveness. And I just felt that it'd be really good to just carry on with that theme. This week we're going to focus on the goodness of God and his Father Heart towards us, and him healing, continuing to heal our wounds. I wrote notes in the middle of the night, and they may not make sense. Yeah, it doesn't. So many of us were fathered by wounded men who weren't all that we needed. And I'm sure that's true for every one of us, that, you know, every single one of our fathers had some type of wound. And even those of us who were fathered by good men had some areas that were lacking. And I found it quite surprising to hear that from Carrie, that 80% of our identity comes from our father, which is slightly shocking, isn't it? It's like, oh my goodness. I don't actually want to believe that, but if it's true, it's true. So that means that probably a lot of us need some healing. But what's really amazing is actually that 100% of our identity comes from our Heavenly Father. And that's what we're going to concentrate on this morning. And actually, we want to step into a place where we understand how he thinks about us and how he sees us. So last week, while we were singing, we heard someone share that they had seen us sitting on God's lap. I don't remember who said that, but was it? Okay. And that they saw God just like loving on somebody as he sat on their lap. And we just thought it would be quite good to sort of continue that idea, but actually possibly sitting on God's lap might not be something that you find an easy image to imagine, depending on your background. So we're going to do it slightly different, but Joey's going to come up, and she's going to lead us in a guided meditation based on that. Because sometimes when people say, oh, you know, I see God doing something, it's like you then have to find a way to access that. And so what we wanted to do was to open that up in a more tangible and real way for you. And I've heard that this is really powerful, so I'm really looking forward to this. And it is Sam's music, isn't it? And so Joe talked to Samuel, as a mother can, and said, hey, son, do you want to write some music for me? And apparently he wrote it in 10 minutes. And Joey's going to share, we're going to have some music written specially for this meditation by Samuel, who is away for the weekend, hence not being here. So, Joe, if you'd like to come up.
Thanks. Yes, I did ask Samuel if he'd write something, and he said he put a lot of intent into the music, and he prayed over it. It's about God's Father Heart. And I thought, well, I needed to listen to it. And actually, it took me on a whole journey. So I hope it's going to take you on a journey as well. Did you hear what Alice said? You don't have to stay in your seat. You can sit on the floor. You can lie on the floor. You can stand up. Or you can stay exactly where you are. So maybe, Dan, if you just start playing it, and then we can assume a position. There are, if anyone needs a covering or anything, they're here. And Gray is playing the bowl. That's intent as well. That's Father Heart as well. He's doing from there. So, right, imagine the door in your heart. And it says in the Bible that Jesus is knocking. He's knocking. And the handle is on your side. So just take hold of that handle and open the door and see Jesus there. He is so pleased to see you. He looks at you with his eyes full of love. And he holds out his hand for you. So just choose to take his hand and just feel that love. And he wants to take you somewhere. He has some good news for you. He is going to take you to see the Father. Father has been waiting a long time for you to come and see him. Father's heart is bursting with love. He hasn't seen you for a while. And he's so looking forward to seeing you and holding you. You take Jesus' hand and you feel safe. Jesus is a safe place. And he's taking you to a safe place where the Father is. And he just encourages you along the way. You're holding his hand, feeling safe, maybe feeling excited, maybe not. And as you walk along, then you see this place like nowhere else, a place of peace, a place of contentment, a place of love and safety. It is the Father's heart, but you're still holding on to Jesus. And you come to the Father's heart, childlike in his presence. But some of you may feel a bit scared or intimidated, or you may just be feeling abandoned or disinterested. But Father is there, and he's holding out his arms to you. He beckons you with his arms outstretched. He wants you. He is there for you, and his eyes are so full of love for you. Oh, he takes that deep breath of love, and he picks you up, and he holds you so tight as if he would never let you go. Breathe in that love, and breathe out the fear, and breathe in the peace, and breathe out the fear. And breathe in the contentment. And breathe out the fear. Just breathe him in. That atmosphere. That love. Just breathe him in. His Father heart to you. Deep in his soul, know that you're truly and unconditionally loved. Know that he accepts you, that he cherishes you, that he sees you, that he hears you, and that he meets all your needs. And you don't have to prove yourself to him. Just be.
just sort of want to stay in that place forever, really, don't you? I know that was really deep, and for some people that may have been an experience that they've never had before. So I'm going to ask people if they'd like to share. That may seem like a bit scary, and if you don't want to, that's fine. But if you feel that you've had an encounter with God that was something new for you and you'd like to share what that was like, then please feel free to take this time now. That's all right. I think for me, I never really sort of felt quite very girly when I was young. I think I was a bit of a tomboy. And actually, if you look at photos of me as a child, I'm often dressed in dark blue clothing, you know, like dungarees and things. And actually, in this encounter that I just had with the Father then, I was a little girl with this really beautiful sort of dress on and little shoes and white ankle socks, and I just looked really cute. And just for me, that's really redeeming, because that's not what I look like as a girl. And but I think in my heart, I want that to be part of my identity, that I was just this cute little girl that my daddy just adored. Oh my goodness. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you. So I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do this. So this is 1 John 3, 1 to 3. Consider the amazing love the Father lavished upon us. This is our defining moment. We began in the agape of God. The engineer of the universe is our Father. So it's no wonder that the performance-based systems of this world just cannot see this, because they do not recognize their origin in God. They feel indifferent towards anyone who does. But beloved, we are children of God to begin with, which means there can be no future surprises. His manifest likeness is already mirrored in us. Our sameness cannot be compromised or contradicted. Our gaze will confirm exactly who he is and who we are. So it says right from the very beginning, we are part of God and we are like him, because that's how he made us. And then again, I'm just going to quickly share from Corinthians, which is a very, very well-known verse, which is often read at weddings. I'm just going to... So this is talking about what love is. I could predict the future in detail and have a word of knowledge for everyone. I could possess amazing faith and prove it by moving mountains. It doesn't make me any more important than anyone else. Love is who you are. You're not defined by your gifts or deeds. Love is not about defending a point of view. Even if I am prepared to give away everything I have and die a martyr's death, love does not have to prove itself by acts of supreme devotion or self-sacrifice. Love is large in being passionate about life and relentlessly patient in bearing the offences and injuries of others with kindness. Love is completely content and strives for nothing. Love has no desire to make others feel inferior and has no need to sing its own praises. Love is predictable and does not behave out of character. Love is not ambitious. Love is not spiteful and gets no mileage out of another's mistakes. Love sees no joy in injustice. Love's delight is in everything that truth celebrates. Love is a fortress where everyone feels protected rather than exposed. Love's persuasion is persistent. Love believes. Love never loses hope and always remains constant in contradiction. Love never loses its altitude. I think that's it, that will do. But this we're talking about God's agape love, his unconditional love, his goodwill, his benevolence and willful delight, and his faithfulness and commitment. But for God is not just an emotion. God is who he is. God is love. This is the very character of who he is, that he pursues us, that he lavishes on us, that he wants us and he desires us unconditionally. So what we're going to do now is we're going to watch a video by Matt Redmond that is about fatherhood. So if Dan, are you able to? Thank you. And again, if you want to look at the images on the screen, they are quite powerful. But if you just want to close your eyes and just listen to the words and just go somewhere else, that's absolutely fine as well.
I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity.
That's a powerful song. And, there's lots of images of little boys in that film, but actually God loves girls just as much, but we're all sons to him. And, I love that one with Will Smith running down the road to pick up his son in nursery, and it's just like, whether we, our own fathers felt like that, or whether we even have an experience of God behaving like that, the truth is that that is how he feels about us. He longs for us. He is so desperate for us. He thinks we are the best thing ever, and he will pursue us even when we can't pursue him. So what I'd like to do now is we're going to just think about attributes of a good father. And I'm not necessarily thinking that you're going to think about your own father, but there may be things that your own dad did that were really great, and we can add those on. But often fathers are represented well in films. And if we as humans can do fatherhood to some degree that's well, then God can do it even better. So what I'd like to do is just to think about the good things that human fathers do. And we're going to write them down. Does somebody want to be a scribe for me? Not that I'm picking anybody out. So either think about something that your own dad did that was really great, or think about something that you've seen in a film or seen somebody else's father do that you really love.
Or that you think ought to be.
Oh, yeah, that would be good as well, yep. So this is what a good father should be like. Present, absolutely, yes. Kind. Affectionate. Yep, patient. Yes, affirming. I mean, you can give examples, though, if it's rather than just saying words, if you've got an example of something that either your own dad or a father that you know, or something you've seen in a film. I know for me, Deb's dad is, I know he's really struggling at the moment, but actually every single time I see him, he gives me a massive hug and he says, "Oh, I love you, my girl." And he's affectionate, he's loving, he's huggy. he makes me feel like I'm the most special person in the universe for that moment when he sees me. I think I have memories from years back. but you know, just that delight, I think, being delighted to see me was such a blessing. I mean, loving, yep. I think familiarity is like, Jeremy and my youngest daughter have got exactly the same sense of humour, and they are constantly joshing and making bizarre jokes. But it's because it's connection and familiarity. And yep. Yep. Makes time for you. Okay, yeah. I'd like a father who's consistent. Come on, we can make this a massive wish list. What would you like the perfect father to be like? Listens to you, yes. Gives you gifts. That would be a good one. Yeah, remembers your birthday. That would be a good one. Sorry? Yeah, guiding, gives you good advice. Getting small dibs. You might need to get your binoculars out to see these. Does things for you. I mean, it's like, I'm just thinking about the five languages of love. Acts of service is one that, you know, comes round and fix your washing machine or, you know. Playful. Yep, that would be good. Sorry? Did you say treats his wife like a queen? Yeah. Treats his wife like a queen, that's a good one. And that's actually, don't they say that actually the best way that children can know, sort of experience love is how well a man loves his wife. And actually, we're the bride of Christ. So not only do we get him as a dad, we get him as a husband. So we get all of it. Yep, unconditional. Yep, that's a good one. Celebrates your successes. Yeah. Could you put a cell? Sorry, go on. To fit it in other places. Non-judgmental, if you can get it in. We've got somewhere like guides us, haven't we, somewhere there, but we can add that to it. Oh, good advice here. Yeah, mentoring here. Genuine, yeah. I guess that we had present to begin with. Honest, yeah. Makes you feel safe. Protective. It's not just protective, it's like the whole environment. It's like his character makes you feel safe. Yep. Wow, we're on a roll here. I think follows through. It's like he does what he says he's going to do. Is that have we got something to do with that? Oh yeah, consistent. Yeah, makes you laugh. Yeah, fun you could have. Yes, that's a really good one. Can you not hear me? Oh, appropriate. Okay, I'll read them all out in a minute if you can't read them. Yes. We've got honesty somewhere, haven't we? But I think integrity is a good one. What was that? Faithful. Yep. Willing. Comforting. Well-mannered. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holds tight and never lets go. I'm sure we've got something that... persistent, and we've got consistent, so yeah. I think we'll stop there because we've almost filled the page, but I'm sure we could go on. So I'm going to just read them out so that we've got all of them. So everybody, if you can't read them all, you can't hear. So we've got emotionally and physically present, kind, honest, freeing, fun, affectionate, patient, got your back, genuine, affirming, ability to make you feel special, accepting, loving, willing, positive role model, connected, supportive, love spending time with you, well-mannered, treats his wife like a queen, faithful, forgiving, tolerant, comforting, encouraging, committed, consistent, approachable, listens to you, gives you gifts, is caring, remembers your birthday, makes you feel safe, gives good advice and a teacher, does things for you, is appropriate, playful, has integrity, is unconditional, is a provider, is understanding, is unselfish, is integral, is compassionate and non-judgmental. That's a big ask, isn't it? That's a really, really big ask. Okay, and we're not expecting that our human fathers can meet any of those, you know, this whole list. But actually, God can, which is just the amazing thing. God can be all of these things to us, and in fact is all of these things to us, and wants to be all of these things to us. So we're going to listen to another song now that is going to be sung to us. And while we... And while we listen to the song, I'd just like you to just allow this, the reality that this is who God is, just to sink into your heart. So,
can I just say, sometimes when we look at things and we look at wounds and we look at our expectations or the things that we want, this is about who God is and can be for us, because we are all broken. And sometimes, I guess particularly if we're looking at fathers in this instant, but it can be equally as mothers or whatever else it is, it can hit into our own lack where we've not been. This is not about making people feel terrible and, oh, I've been a terrible father or mother, or I haven't done any of these things, and coming down heavily on ourselves. If God identifies some stuff in us, He wants to heal us. And the purpose of this is always so that we can be healed and whole. And so because we may feel we have let people down in some of these areas, please don't let that knock us out from where we engage now with God to bring healing to us. Because when we are healed, we can be different. We can't be different from our wounds. So it's only ever always about let God meet us or heal us on the inside. So then, if there are things that we think we need to be different in, we can do it from a place of wholeness, from God healing us, not guilt or shame or any of those negative things of I should have been or I'm not. Because none of us can be who God intends us to be until He brings that revelation to us on the inside. So I just wanted to say that.
Very good point. Okay.
On the way here this morning, we had the radio on in the car, and we were listening to Bill Johnson, it was, speaking about grace. And the first thing that I heard him say was about how God is our Father, but He sees us through Jesus. So whenever He looks at us, He just sees us through Jesus, which I just thought was actually really cool, because it was just like confirming what we were thinking about this morning. So if you want to, yeah, close your eyes if you like. Oh, Father of the fatherless, in whom all families are blessed, I love the way you father me. You gave me life, forgave the past, and in your arms I'm safe at last. I love the way you father me, forever you'll father me, and
and in your embrace I'll be forever secure. I love the way you father me. When bruised and broken I draw near, you hold me close and dry my tears. I love the way you father me. At last my fearful heart is still surrendered to your perfect will. I love the way you father me. If in my foolishness I stray, returning empty and ashamed, I love the way you father me. Exchanging for my wretchedness your radiant robes of righteousness, I love the way you father me. Father me, forever you'll father me, and in your embrace I'll be forever secure. I love the way you father me. I love the way you father me. And when I look into your eyes, from deep within my spirit cries, I love the way you father me. Before such love, I stand amazed, and ever will through endless days. I love the way you father me. Father me, forever you'll father me, and in your embrace I'll be forever secure. I love the way you father me. I love the way you father me.
Well done, Karen. Wow, that was powerful and amazing. I mean, to do it unaccompanied, just stunning. So what I saw God doing this morning was I saw a picture of us as babies, and he was wrapping us up in like garments of identity, and they were like, you know, sometimes we feel like who we are is not who we should be, but actually God has got a plan and a purpose for our lives. And he chose that identity for us even before we were born. And so even before we came to earth, he knew who we were and he knew what he destined for us. And he just had good stuff for us. And whatever our life has looked like, you know, we probably haven't lived in the fullness of the goodness of what God has for us. But actually, his desire and his purpose is only good. And so what I'd like us to do is, because based on Carrie's... Sorry. plan, she does this thing where she gives us affirmation. So after we've been had a session with her, she gives us a list of affirmations. And I'm just going to read some of mine. I'm not going to read all of them. Some of them are too personal, but I'll just read some of them. So my affirmations that Carrie gave me, which is my prescription that I have to read 3 times a day out loud. I'm often whipping off to the loo and grabbing my phone, and it's like grabbing a couple of minutes. And you think at first, well, how am I going to fit this in? I'm never going to fit this in. But actually, you create a habit and it becomes a lifestyle. So some of mine are, I am cared for. I am valued. I am supported. I am seen and heard. I am loved. I am understood. I am worthy of love. And this is the one that I think she does with everybody. I deeply love and accept myself. I am forgiving. I am protected. I am forgiven. I am walking out new patterns. I am powerful. I am strong. Life is good. And so, I don't know, a few weeks ago I showed you a video of what it looks like when we change how we speak about ourselves. And it actually changes the synapses in our brain. And once we change those patterns in our brain, it changes who we are. So this is like really, really powerful stuff. So what I'd like you to do now, if you can, and I'd really encourage you to try and do this, is to do some affirmations based on who God is. So we could have, I am loved because God is loving. I am comforted. I am encouraged. I am heard. I am cared for. I am remembered. I am loved unconditionally. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. So does that make sense? To write some positive things about yourself that are, they may not feel true, but they are positive faith statements about who you are as a person and how God sees you. So I don't know, could we play Sam's music again? Is that possible? How long is it? Okay, but ask God to also reveal to you, if he's wrapping identity around you, ask him to reveal to you who you are and how he sees you in terms of truth statements about yourself. Does that make sense? Does everybody feel that they can do that? So there is paper. So hang on a minute. Yeah, that'd be great, thank you, if you could give some paper out. And we've got lots of pens, hopefully there's enough pens. And if you want to, while you're doing this, actually, if you want to come and take communion, because there are some really excellent declarations about who we are as people here, in this place. And actually, when we take communion, God changes us from the inside out. He changes our DNA, and it's an act of transformation. So if you want to, while you're doing this exercise as well, come and take communion. Please feel free to do that at the same time. So we're going to sort of spend, I don't know, a few minutes, 5-10 minutes, just pondering, and just ask God to reveal to you, if you're used to hearing God, allow him to give you some words of affirmation as well that you can write down. Is everybody happy with that? You all understand what I'm asking you to do? Cool. As I said, these may not feel real yet, but we're in a process of transformation.
I also just say, if you've got areas in your life where you feel like you want to declare truth over it, so say something like, I am successful. I am moving forward. I am free. I don't know, anything that you feel that there are just desires in your heart that you want to declare over yourself that are good stuff, then add those on as well. So hopefully some you've all got something written down, and this is not an exhaustive list. This is a work in process. But what we're going to do, sorry, if we could carry on with the music, that would be lovely. What I'd like to just encourage you to do now is, like, if you've just written it down, okay, it's just words, but actually what I would like to encourage you to do is allow God, allow the Father to, like, embed them in your heart as truths. Let them come and let these words resonate with you and allow them to change who you are and change your frequency and to release anything that needs to be released. But let them just now, just engage with these words and let them become part of who you are and just let the Father seal them into you. It says in the Bible that the truth sets us free, and what you have written is truth for you, and it is life to you, and it is medicine to your soul. So I do encourage you to continue with reading these out, and there is power in reading them out loud, and you might need to find a quiet corner to go and do that in. But actually, as you speak, you then hear, and that becomes your reality. So I'm just going to ask Jo to come and share a testimony of how she worked with this.
Well, mine is actually to do with my mother, but it's still that parent, father, nurturing. And when I was born, I was teeny tiny, I was only 4 pounds, and I must have been born ill, unwell. So they put me straight in an incubator, and my mum said she couldn't even touch me. So I had that issue in me of abandonment, and there was no connection, and there was just no bonding with my mum, my parent. And Carrie was talking about re-imaging our memories. So this memory for me was, I was whisked away from my mother. I was abandoned, I was rejected, just isolated. And I felt I had to forgive and release my mother. But I thought, how can I change my memory? What would I have liked? And so then I had, Holy Spirit gave me this memory of, as soon as I was born, my mum, like, she just picked me up and she just loved on me and she just nourished me. And I had those feelings of actually belonging, being accepted, just being overwhelmed by a parent's love. And that was just re-imaging my memory. And, you know, that's how I feel now. I feel accepted. I feel that I belong. And it's for any wounds or anything that God brings to mind that actually causes that wound. It's forgive and release. Maybe we're doing father heart here. Forgive and release your father. But asking the Holy Spirit just to re-image that memory. So if you were abandoned by your father, that actually, what would you actually have liked your father to have done? You know, hugged you, and you would feel that you belong to him. So it's just re-imaging and bringing these positive things in.
Excellent. And it all sort of sounds a bit intangible, but actually when we put faith in this, there is such power for transformation in who we are and how we see ourselves. I think we're mostly done this morning. We've done quite a lot. I'd like to just give you opportunity to, if you have anything that you feel you need to write down and give away. So if it's brought anything up and you just feel like you need to write it down and give it away, we don't actually have the cross this morning, but we've got a nice purple bag that if you just feel that that's a really helpful exercise for you to write down anything negative and put it in the bag, please feel free to do that now as well. There should be more paper if you need more paper. We're also going to offer ministry. So if you feel that anything has been brought up at this point, that you have wounds or you just need some help with something, then we're going to offer that as well. I'm going to ask Dan, do you think you could play the Matt Redman song again? Is it possible to play it without the pictures, or do we want the pictures? Did we like the pictures? Just the pictures and not the song. Do we like the pictures? Just the music. Can we have it just with the music and without the pictures? That'd be great. Thank you. And I don't know how we're going to do it. Deb, if you want help, come and find one of us who you know can help you. Or take communion, or just carry on with your lists, or put some stuff in the basket, in the bag if you need to. But just do whatever you need to do at this point to move forwards.
Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity, it's written on my heart, it's written on my heart, you sing it over.
That was a bit of a different morning, but I hope you felt that you could engage, and we'll see you next week. Have a good week.